Well, good evening. Good to be here and wonderful again to be joining not only First Wednesday but also joining with the church here in Hammersmith. And David and I bring the greetings of Calderwood Baptist Church in East Kilbride, well known to Stan and Anne-Marie who regularly travel up there and preach God's word amongst us at East Kilbride. So we're going to look this evening at Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. We're going to read in God's Word, Luke 19, 1 through 10. And it's entitled here, Jesus and Zacchaeus. He, that is Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. And we pray that God would speak to us as we look at his word and we seek to apply his word to our life. For many of us, we might be very, very familiar with the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Sometimes it's one of those little stories for those of us who know our Bibles that we can be so familiar with that we read it quite quickly. And in actual fact, we don't slow down enough to allow the Word of God just to speak into our hearts afresh and in many different ways. But the encounter of Jesus and Zacchaeus, that encounter that Zacchaeus had with the Lord Jesus Christ, is fascinating in so many different fronts. A number of years ago, I was invited to a breakfast. It was a business breakfast. It was a breakfast where leaders in industry were invited to come and to speak about their life, to speak about their work, and where, if they had one, to speak about their faith. And both my wife and I were there, and the speaker that day was Sir Tom Farmer. Sir Tom Farmer, the founder of QuickFit, exhausts and tires and all that sort of stuff. And he was speaking about his life, he was speaking about his work, and he was speaking about his faith. He's Roman Catholic, and he's quite a devout Roman Catholic, and he's regular in terms of his worship amongst the congregation that he was a part of. And he said that one of the great values in being in his church was that they preached their way through the lectionary. And what that meant was you always knew which text of Scripture was coming up Sunday by Sunday. And he said, there's a little text of Scripture, he said, that Jesus quoted. And he said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, Sir Tom Farmer is a very, 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 very wealthy man, right? And he said that whenever that passage or whenever that reading was read in church, he said he was conscious of a collective turning of heads as everyone in the congregation craned to try and have a wee look at him as he heard the word of God saying how hard it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. And of course, he could almost feel everyone saying, hey, what about that, Sir Tom? It's incredible that we do that, isn't it? It's incredible that, you know, if I'd read that text, which I could have done, it's in Luke chapter 18, by the way, right? And I'm going to reference it in a moment in relation to Zacchaeus. But if I had that, if I'd read that text, who would we have looked at? And the reality is, we should have looked at ourselves. Because the truth is, if we've got a house and a car and a personal computer, we're actually amongst the wealthiest people in the world, globally, right? So all of us are rich people. But yet the truth of Jesus Christ is absolute. How hard it is for a rich man, not like Sir Tom, a rich man like me, to enter the kingdom of heaven. But the good news is that that which is impossible for man is never impossible for God. And the great thing about Luke 18 and about Luke 19, as we encounter Jesus and Zacchaeus, as we'll discover, was a very rich man, right? The great thing about that is that although it's difficult, it's not impossible. And the wonderful thing about the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ is that the death that Christ has died on Calvary's cross is sufficient enough to forgive those who are impoverished, and to forgive those who are incredibly wealthy, and to welcome them into the eternal kingdom of God. And at the end of Luke chapter 18, we discover Jesus in an encounter with a blind beggar. And when we turn to Luke chapter 19, we find that Jesus is just passing through Jericho, and he's about to encounter a very rich Zacchaeus. But the good news is, it doesn't matter where we are, in Jesus Christ, there is hope, eternal hope, for everyone who will put their trust in him. And this little encounter with Zacchaeus, it is a beautiful little encounter. First of all, a little bit about Jericho. Jericho was a beautiful place. Jericho was one of those places that you would have wanted to live in. It was a place that had a lot of wealth. It had a hippodrome, it had a theatre, it had a great climate. David and I have been appalled with London today and yesterday. Your weather has been shocking, right? It's been raining and raining. Now, we get enough of that. We come here for a rest, right? But the reality is, Jericho was a beautiful place. Jericho was a place with the most wonderful climate. It had, here's the thing, whenever we read the scriptures, every word of scripture speaks into our hearts, speaks into our lives, wants to show us who Jesus is, who God is. And even the smallest details, in actual fact, just underline the authority of it and how genuine it is. And Jericho was a place that was, many of the streets were lined with sycamore trees. We almost find it incidental to the account. But it's so important because it's just describing Jericho for us as well. There were many sycamore tree-lined streets and avenues in Jericho. In actual fact, Jericho as a city also had a balsam wood, a tree, and it was a beautiful fragrance about Jericho. It was one of the places that you would want to live. Mark Antony of Antony and Cleopatra fame gave Jericho to Cleopatra as a gift. It was that beautiful. That he wanted to show just how much he was in love with her. And so he gave her Jericho. But Jericho was one of three main tax centres. Caesarea, Capernaum, and Jericho were the other. And Zacchaeus. And it's the only place in the scriptures that we hear mention of a chief tax collector. Zacchaeus lived in Jericho, in this beautiful place, and he was the chief tax collector. I always find it so surprising because the little man was the big man. The little man was the chief tax collector. The little man was the big kahuna. The little man had all the other folks working for him. and he was incredibly wealthy. Now, where there is wealth, there is taxes, right? And so Jericho is a place of incredible wealth, and so therefore of incredible taxes. And Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. And I love that, because in the laws of business, what it means is that he's got all these other people working for him. All these tax collectors are loathed and despised, and he's the chief. So they're all making money, and Zacchaeus is making money off of every one of them. This man is fabulously wealthy, and he's about to encounter Jesus, the one who has said how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we're beginning to see something of what's happening. What I love about the text of Scripture is it said that Jesus was just passing through. One of the incredible things about our Lord Jesus Christ, and we see this down through the history of Christendom, is that wherever Jesus is, there is always the potential for complete and utter transformation. Whenever Jesus is on the move, there is always the potential for complete transformation. And so he enters Jericho, he's passing through, and behold, there's a man named Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. One of the things I love about Zacchaeus is that his name means the righteous one. I don't know if any of you, you know, Johan and I were talking together and he forgot my name at first. It's John, it means the gift of God. I said, actually, the Dutch for it is Johan, which is his name. And so at the end of the day, you know, we're having that kind of conversation. It just means the gift of God. But Zacchaeus means the righteous one. But when we meet Zacchaeus, he is anything but righteous. When we meet Zacchaeus, he is the unrighteous one. And the truth is that every single one of us, biblically speaking, are the unrighteous ones. Until we have an encounter with Jesus that transforms our lives, and we move from being the unrighteous to being the righteous. Not righteous in our own merit, but righteous because of our faith, because of our trust, because of our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we get this little transfer when we become believers, from being unrighteous to becoming righteous in the righteousness of Christ. And so the beautiful thing about Zacchaeus is that when you and I meet him, we meet the one who is called the righteous one, and we know that he is unrighteous. We know that he's a rich, wealthy tax collector, and not all of his money has been gained legitimately. Right? So the reality is that Zacchaeus. And there's a beautiful thing in the context of the passage, because it says that he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Now, we don't know what it was that sparked his interest in Jesus Christ. We don't know why he was fascinated by Jesus. But we do know that within Zacchaeus there was a desire to see who this Jesus was. And I love the fact that the Bible is always just very blunt and very honest and very open with us. And it's not all that PC, because it just turns around and says he was small of stature. He was a little man. He was a wee guy, as we would say up in Scotland, right? He was the wee man. And so Zacchaeus is this little big guy in the context of Jericho. He's fabulously wealthy, but there's something going on in his heart. It's just the first little, you know, sort of steps of interest in what it is to hear Jesus, to see Jesus, perhaps even to respond to Jesus. There's something going on in his life. Now, one of the joys for myself over many years of ministry has to see, witness a number of people who just that little spark of interest in Christ has brought them along, perhaps to some gathering we have, or perhaps to some service we're holding, or perhaps to open up the Word of God alongside me or with someone else. And just that little spark of interest. And then later, as they become believers, to realize that while they thought they were seeking Jesus, the truth is that Jesus was seeking them. And there's a beautiful turn in this little account, because the one who is seeking Jesus is actually being sought by Jesus. Because that's really what's going on in Luke chapter 19. Although Zacchaeus thinks he's going to seek Jesus out, Jesus is actually passing through Jericho in order that he might seek Zacchaeus out. And he might enable Zacchaeus through faith in him to become the righteous one that his name indicated. There's a beautiful little part that comes out at the end where Jesus declares Zacchaeus to be a son of Abraham. Now he was that, physically speaking, by birth. But to be a true son of Abraham is really to believe in God by faith. To put all our trust in God's promised one, in God's promised Saviour, in God's promised Messiah. And that's what happens in this little encounter. But every time somebody comes to faith, even although they show that little spark of interest, God is at work in speaking into their life, in convicting them of sin, in showing them their need of Christ, in drawing them to himself, in transforming them, that they might live the life that God longs for them to live. So he was seeking Jesus, but on account of the crowd, he could not see Jesus because he was small of stature. And so he does something which is quite staggering in the context. The people know Zacchaeus. He's got a dignified position in the town. And yet, in a very undignified way, it tells us that as a man of some standing, as a man probably of some years, he did what most men in that position don't do. He ran. And then he climbed a tree. Almost as it were, regardless of what anyone else was thinking. Because he longed to see Jesus. You know, one of the little observations I've made over many years about people coming to faith in Christ is that it always begins with a little bit of dying to the pride which we have by nature. And I actually think in Zacchaeus just running and climbing trees in order that he might see Jesus, there was a little bit of pride dying off there. There was a little bit of a change going on in his heart. We know the one that he was seeking, in truth, was seeking him. We know that biblically. But there was just that little movement towards Jesus Christ. I look back at my own journey of faith, and I know that the one person, more than anything else, that I had to die to, the one thing that I had to die to, was pride in my own achievements, pride in my own accomplishments, pride in what I thought would be my ability to put things right, even to earn God's favour. But the reality is I could never do that. Everything that I have, I was saying to a friend the other day, I walk in the two legs of grace and forgiveness. That's the two legs I walk on. There is nothing in me that can put myself right with God. I need to die to the pride of my heart and life and surrender who I am to him. And Zacchaeus finds himself up a tree looking out at Jesus. And then we get this beautiful encounter. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down." Now, there are many who would want just to say, well, you know, Zacchaeus was notorious in Jericho. Everyone knew Zacchaeus, right? Jesus had obviously just heard about him. I'm not convinced of that. The more I read the scriptures and the more I look at the word of God and the more I discover something of the character of God and the attributes of God, the more I understand that God is all-seeing, that he is all-powerful, that he is all-knowing. And that when Jesus, and Luke is longing for us to see that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Saviour. When Jesus, in his ministry, would move amongst people and then just call them by name. Again, it's just a little insight into who he is. The omniscient, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful one. I'm utterly convinced that God knows every single one of us by name. That God knows who we are. That God knows how we live. That God knows how we think. that God knows the worst of our lives. And we would like to try and say, I hope he knows the best. But the truth is, in God's sight, there actually isn't any best in us, right? We are all unrighteous in his sight until he in Christ makes us righteous. But he looks up into that tree and he calls Zacchaeus by name Zacchaeus. You picture the crowd for a moment. This hated, loathed, despised tax collector. This guy who's ripped us all off. What is Jesus doing? You know, Jesus should start thinking about the company he's keeping, right? He should start thinking about who he wants to hang out with. Zacchaeus, come down. Because I need to stay at your place today. I love it. For I must stay at your house today. Hurry and come down. It's the only account in Scripture we have of Jesus inviting himself to someone's house. But the reality is, he turns around and says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. You know, there's something absolutely very beautiful in that wording of Jesus. The truth is that for any of us to become believers, we actually need to hear the call of God. We need to hear God's word bringing us to a place of conviction, bringing us to a place where we know our need of him, bringing us to a place where we're ready to repent and believe, to put our trust in him, in a sense to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and into our lives, to become the people who by faith have embraced all that can be ours in Christ. And so there's a beautiful encounter, Zacchaeus. Come down, because I must stay at your place today. You know, again, when I trace the history of the revelation of who God is, Genesis through Revelation, one of the wonders of it is we find, the presence of God, you know, in the tabernacle, and then in the temple, and then in the revelation of who God is in Christ. And then Christ says that when, after he has died on Calvary's cross, after he has been raised from the dead, he will ascend to the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes for us. But he pours out the Holy Spirit who will dwell within us. There's a very real sense in which to be a follower of Christ is to be indwelt by God himself. And for our body to become a temple that honours and glorifies him in everything that we do. And so he says, hurry and come down, because I must dwell. I must stay at your house today. And so Zacchaeus hurries and he comes down and he receives him joyfully. Isn't it beautiful that the little kind of juxtaposition between the kind of, Zacchaeus and the onlookers? You know, all those who knew Zacchaeus, all those that hated him, all those that despised him, all those that didn't like him, they're like, who the hang is Jesus, you know, to go to Zacchaeus' house? He ought to think about who he's keeping company with. The Lord delights to call unrighteous Zacchaeus to himself. He delights to call unrighteous people like you and I to himself. He delights to be in the presence of those who have fallen so far short of God's ways and of God's rule for life, and to take them and to transform them and to make them sons and daughters of the living God. And it's what Jesus delights to do. But those round about were grumbling. When they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. You know, my friends, I want to say to you, the story of my Christian life is that Jesus became the guest of a man who is a sinner. And the story of any of our lives, if we are followers of Christ, is that Jesus becomes the guest of a man who is a sinner, or a woman who's a sinner. There is nothing in us to commend us to Christ. It is all the grace and forgiveness of God. And so here is this wonderful account of Jesus and his longing to seek and to save that which is lost. Because Zacchaeus, for all his wealth, for all his position, for all his prestige, was lost. He was lost. And Luke loves to remind us that whenever that which is lost gets found, there is great joy. You turn back a few chapters, you get to Luke chapter 15. He tells the story of a parable of a lost coin. And when the coin is found, there is great joy. He tells the story of the parable of a lost sheep. And when the sheep is found, there is great joy. He tells the story of a lost son. And when the son is found, there is great joy. And what's going on here is those parables that Jesus has taught being worked out in practical reality in the life of Zacchaeus. He's a lost son of mine. Come down from the tree, and Zacchaeus comes down and receives Jesus joyfully. Yeah, I tell you what, the night that I became a Christian, under a real conviction of my sin, and I prayed and confessed my sin and asked Christ to be my Saviour, there was a joy in my life that night. And it's a joy that's never left me. Because I know that my standing before God is not based on who I am and what I might do and what I might achieve and who I might become. It is firmly based on who Christ is and in the grace and forgiveness that he has given me, and he's made me a son of God, a child of Abraham by faith. Right? And that's what he extends to every one of us who would repent and believe, who by faith would put our trust in Christ. And so here's Zacchaeus, he's coming down the tree. He's coming down the tree joyfully. It's those round about who are the joy killers. And you know, and I've got to be honest, even I became a Christian, there were many people round about who looked at me and thought, him. Him. And they were joy killers. You know, they're kind of grumbling and moaning, but it didn't change anything for me. I was joyfully receiving Christ. And it's the same for every single one of us who repents and puts our trust in him. He comes down, he receives Jesus joyfully, and all the others are grumbling and saying he's going to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. You know, if you're here tonight and you know that before God you're still a sinner in his sight, I want to say that the Lord Jesus Christ delights in being the guest of a man or a woman who is a sinner. He delights in people like that. And the good thing is, Zacchaeus the unrighteous, in actual fact, because of his encounter with Christ, is going to become the righteous one. In other words, he's going to live up to his name. Now, I was christened John. You know, I had no say in that, right? You know, that was the name that my parents chose for me. And that was the name I was given. It's a good name, John, isn't it, right? You know, albeit, you know, you're not quite Zacchaeusite, right? But at the end of the day, you know, I was given that name. And it means the gift of God. I don't think I get given that name, you know, on the basis that anyone knew that I was going to become a faithful follower of Christ or even a minister of his gospel, right? But I tell you this much. When I came to faith in Christ and I discovered what my name actually meant, I actually realized that the one who was unworthy of God's greatest gift had been given the greatest gift. And so now John, gift of God, I'm just John who knows the greatest gift of God in the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that God extends towards me. And so they're all grumbling, and Zacchaeus stands up. Now, how do we know a man has truly changed? How do we know a person is the genuine article? How do we know a person has really come to faith in Christ? Well, we know by the testimony of their life. Now, that can look very different for different people. But think for a moment or two about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, well-known in Jericho, well-known as tax collector, well-known as crook, well-known as swindler, well-known as the one who takes more than is his. How does he speak of the transformation that God can bring to those who know him? Well, the incredible thing is that for Zacchaeus, he actually spoke in a language to the people of Jericho that the people of Jericho could see Zacchaeus' transformation was genuine. Because Zacchaeus actually turned around and he says, "Behold, Lord." Now there's the profession of faith. There's the confession of faith. "Behold, Lord." So he calls Jesus Christ Lord. But notice what he does. He says, "Half of my goods I give to the poor." So half of his wealth he immediately gives away. And then he says, if I have swindled anyone out of anything, and he actually dips into the Old Testament law and rulings, and he goes for the heaviest price he could possibly pay, he says, I'm now going to give them fourfold what I've taken from them. There must have been a number of people in Jericho that day thinking, I hope to goodness Zacchaeus has ripped me off, right? Because they must have been sitting there going, you know, if he's ripped me off, payday is coming, right? I'm going to get four times. Now, this is not a sort of biblical mandate that every one of us that becomes a Christian must give half away and must restore fourfold. It's not saying that. Zacchaeus was renowned in Jericho. And he was renowned for his greed and for his accumulated wealth. How can God show the transformation that has come about in Zacchaeus' life? What a powerful way. Suddenly this man stands up. Half of my wealth I'm giving away. And if I've swindled you, I'm going to give you four times what I'm taking. Now, some in Jericho might just be rubbing their hands and thinking it was payday. But others must have been going, what has happened to Zacchaeus? What is God doing in this man's life? What is the transformation that I'm witnessing? You know, for those people that know us, do they see, those of us who claim to be Christians, do they see the transforming power of God at work in our lives? Do they actually look and say, there's something about them that has changed? If we were an impatient person, suddenly by the Spirit of God, we're starting to show patience. If we were kind of mumping, grumbling, moaning, pain in the backside, suddenly we become this loving, caring, joyful person. And it's not a front we're putting on. It's just something of the transforming power of Christ at work in our lives. And so Zacchaeus gets up and he says, behold, Lord, if I have, then this is what I'll do. And look at the testimony of Jesus. Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. And Jesus there was just outlining the fact that we're not sons of Abraham by birth. We're sons of Abraham by faith in God's promised Saviour. And that's exactly who Zacchaeus was. That's exactly what was going on in his life. That was exactly the testimony that he was declaring. The unrighteous one had become the righteous one because of Christ. And so Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house, for he's a son of Abraham. And then we get, I think, arguably, you know, the greatest verse in Luke's gospel, and in actual fact I think the purpose statement for the whole of Luke's gospel, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus had been teaching about why he had come. He'd come to reach out to those who were lost sinners, far from God, lost eternally outside of Christ. He'd been proclaiming that, teaching that. In just a little while, he was going to go to Calvary's cross. And there on Calvary's cross, you could have almost written above, and we know that there was a sign put above his head, right? But it wasn't this, but you almost could have written, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. His whole mission, his whole purpose was to come and to die for those who were far from God, that they might put their trust in him, that they might know sins forgiven, that they might know the barrier that existed between them and God being broken down, that they might be able to become true sons and daughters of Abraham by faith in Christ. He was about to go and to fulfill that mission, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. But after his death on Calvary's cross, and his resurrection from the dead, and his ascension into heaven, and his pouring out of the Spirit in the church, the Spirit who indwells believers, they continue that mission of seeking and saving the lost. How did he do that? They do that in being honest, in the proclamation of the gospel, in the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ, in the sharing it with family members and with friends, in the being honest about the transforming power of Christ in our lives and the difference he has made. And so the Church of Jesus Christ is really all about the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And First Wednesday is a seeking and saving that which is lost ministry. It actually just reaches out and says, there is good news. God loves us in Christ Jesus. He will cancel out everything that would keep us from the presence of God for all eternity if we would, by repentance and faith, put all our trust in Him. There is a way back to God through Jesus Christ the Lord. It is possible for sinners like ourselves to know what it is for Jesus to be a guest in our life. He comes actually as much more than a guest. He comes as our Saviour. He comes as our friend. He comes as the one who will keep us not just for the moment, but for all eternity. And He does the work of transforming us. You see, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus that day. And when Jesus does a transforming work in someone's life, they can profess and they can make testimony. Zacchaeus' testimony is astonishing. He's just encountered Jesus, and Jesus has put His finger on what really matters. And suddenly Zacchaeus has given away half his wealth. He's almost turning around saying, I've lived for this stuff and it means nothing. Now if you look back, when you get a chance, I'm going to wind down. But when you look back at Luke chapter 18, you'll discover that a rich young ruler came to see Jesus. And you'll discover that the rich young ruler was attached to his wealth. And he was attached to his position. And he was attached to his prestige. And he was lost in his pride. And Jesus said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So attached are they to all that they've accumulated. But then you just fast forward, and here's Zacchaeus. Rich man, wealthy man. An encounter with Christ changes everything. And his testimony shows that that which he'd put all his trust in could never secure anything for him for eternity. But becoming a friend of Jesus, or allowing God's invitation that he would be a guest, that he would be a friend, that he would be a saviour to us, to become the reality of his life, well, that was transforming. And I love the fact that only with Jesus is it possible for the unrighteous to become righteous. Only with Jesus is it possible for the impoverished or the wealthy to gain heaven. Only by faith in Christ can you and I know what it is to live as God intends for all eternity. And I love the fact that this life with Jesus is real, it's genuine, it's authentic. And it is seen in the transformed lives we live. And as followers of Christ, that transformation should be seen by others. And it should become, for those of us who are followers of Christ, an opportunity just to share the good news of Jesus. Because he's still seeking and saving the lost. And I would say to any of you who were gathered, that I know the heart of God is to seek and to save that which is far from him. I know the heart of Jesus is to seek and save that which is lost. I know the heart of Jesus is to be not only a guest, but the friend and the saviour of any sinner who would come and confess their sin and invite Jesus Christ to be their Lord. There are so many things about this little story that at one level, we sometimes so familiar with it, we rush past it. There's a day coming. It's that real. The scripture is that real. There's a day coming when I will stand in glory because I believe with all that I am that eternity with Christ is for real. And there's a day coming when I will stand in glory. And I don't know how long it'll take me, because eternity is a very long time, right? But one day, someday, I'll just bump up against Zacchaeus, right? You know, it might take me a while to see him, because he's a wee guy, right? I don't know what it'll be like in glory, right? I don't know how transformed. I just don't know what it'll look like there, right? But just to hear that testimony, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that testimony. Thank you for that testimony. Because it speaks into our lives today. A man utterly transformed. And Jericho must have been sitting there going, not who is Zacchaeus, but who is Jesus, that he can do this with a Zacchaeus? And that's the right response. And I just say to anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ yet, who is Jesus that he can do that with a Zacchaeus? If he can do that with a Zacchaeus, and he can do that with, and you put the names in of the followers of Christ that you know, can he do that with me? And the answer is yes, he can do that for you. You know, one of the things that I have loved about First Wednesday is Stan and Anne-Marie faithfully, every time I've been, and I know even every time that I've not been, they put in two little prayers in that order of service. One is a prayer for somebody who's searching for the truth. Well, Zacchaeus started seeking Jesus, right? And the other is a prayer of belief for those who would make a response of faith to Jesus. And I commend them to your attention. I encourage you to look. I encourage you to read through it. But don't just do that. Ask yourself honestly, have you ever applied the truth of God's word, the truth about Christ, the truth of these simple words to your own life? And if you have, then hallelujah. And if you're not, then today salvation can come to your house. It starts simply by putting our faith in Christ. And that is a joyful first step. And it's the beginning of the transforming power of God at work. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we want to say thank you for your word. We want to say thank you for, just the incredible testimony of Zacchaeus. We want to say thank you for the power of Jesus Christ to take and to transform a person like Zacchaeus. And Father, we do pray that you'd be at work in our midst even tonight to speak into each one of our hearts and lives, and to move us to that place where who you are changes us and makes us into the sons and daughters that you long for us to be as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.